Well, we are getting to the final piece of our series on the culture of Living Hope Family Church. And this final piece today is all about empowering people to serve and make an impact in the kingdom of God. You remember we talked about kind of our motto as a church is to evangelize the lost, to equip the saints, and then we want to empower those saints to step out into what God has called them to do. And this looks like a lot of different things, right? This ranges all the way from what we might consider the smallest or the least honorable thing, like maybe doing grounds work or picking up trash or cleaning the bathrooms to the big stuff, you know, the things that we might think are honorable or are good in the sight of God, like sending out evangelists or pastors and planting brand new churches. But the reality is that the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ, needs all types of people that are willing to serve. Amen. We need people who are skilled musicians. We need people who can teach our children. We need people who are graphic artists or technical people or marketing people, missionaries, pastors, teachers, all of these things. The church requires them to be effective, and we're not just born that way. There takes some training, some work involved in that. So that is our goal. First is to equip you, but then we don't just want to have a bunch of people that are our professional students. We were just talking about in the men's meeting yesterday, there are some people that have spent so much time in school, right? They get their bachelor's and they go back to get a master's, and then they go back to get a PhD, and then they get another one and another one. And all of a sudden, they spent their entire life as a professional student, but they never actually done anything. That's not what we're looking to do. We're looking to get people trained and then step out into the ministry that God has called them to do. And there are so many ways, different ways to serve the Lord. And we want to make sure that every person in this room, one, has what they need to be equipped to do, but also has the ability and are empowered to step out into what God has called them to do. We want to make sure that you're equipped and then supported all along the way. Who here has the call of God on your life? I don't know why everybody's hands wasn't up. Let's try that again. Who here has the call of God on their life? Everybody does. God has a plan and purpose for you. Here, I'll make it easy for you. Raise your hand if you're here today. Now keep them up. Who has the call of God in your life? Yay! We got it now. God has a plan and purpose for your life. God has called you to do something. And as a church, we want to make sure that you are equipped and empowered to step out on what God has called you to do. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 through 20, it says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But that, as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." You know, this is something that we kind of can all get. Have you ever noticed that the scriptures aren't really written to people only with PhDs can understand? They're written in such a way that we can all understand. We're not confused. And he's using this example of the body. And we all naturally get that. You can look at your own body and realize that it's made up of different parts. And every part of the body has a different role. It has a different purpose. Anybody ever tried to pick something up with their ear? It just doesn't work. You need your fingers to pick something up. Those of you who are particularly nimble can sometimes pick stuff up with your toe. But anybody ever tried to pick something up with your knee? It's not going to work. I was listening to something the other day, and it was trying to describe what would happen if you were missing your eyes. And most people think, if I was missing our eyes, I would just see darkness. And they say, no, you wouldn't see darkness. You would see nothing. And you're like, I don't get that. What do you mean by nothing? He's like, try to see something through your elbow. if you're missing the part, I mean, it just doesn't I comprehend. You need the different parts of your body to perform their different functions. And God has placed you in this body for a reason. You're not here to just warm up a chair on Sunday morning. My pastor used to say, you're not just supposed to be here to sit on your blessed assurance. You have something to do. God has a plan for your life. And he's planned, put you here for a reason. You have a job to do. And the truth is there's a lot of roles that we can, if we're not careful, we get carried away and we think of them as top shelf. You know, everybody wants to be on the worship team. Everybody, or many people, you know, I want to be pastors or the man up front, or we want to do the big things, you know, the ones they talk about in the Bible, the evangelists. So we think of these as like high level positions. Even if we think we may not be able to do them, somehow we think that they're worth more. But the reality is that every role in the body is important. Everyone is needed. In fact, most parts of the body work in symbiotic fashion. We work together. We need one another to accomplish what God wants us to do. Oftentimes, as a servant, which how many know that your ultimate calling is just being a servant? We need to operate in many different positions as we're needed. The first thing you should do is just be willing to serve, wherever it is, whatever needs to be done. And sometimes your calling is going to change as you grow and mature. You just live your life. You may have one season in your life where you'll do one thing, and another season another. Sometimes somebody else is doing the work that you should be doing instead of their own. Acts 6:1-4, it says, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You know, what was happening there, was a problem, and they were going to the apostles to fix it. And the apostles are like, listen, we have our own job to do. If we're going to start waiting tables, then we're not going to be able to do our own job. And so many times in the church, we have people doing something that somebody else should be doing. And that's one of the things I pray, is that I don't get before God at the end of my time and find out there was somebody else doing the job that I was supposed to be doing. But the way that you make sure that you're not in that position is just be willing to be a servant wherever it is. And the thing is that if we're letting that stuff happen, where we see a deficiency, just like if you walked up and somebody walked in the building and you looked up and instead of ears, they had mouths where that was supposed to go, you would know something wasn't right. Something wasn't working the way that it was intended. And the same goes for the body of Christ. Sometimes we have mouths where the ears should be. And sometimes we have hands where the nose should be, instead of people filling the part that they're supposed to fill. If every person refused to serve unless they could be a singer on the worship team, who would teach our children? Who would do the preaching? Who would do the evangelizing? Who would come in and make sure that the chairs are all straightened out and be where they're supposed to be? Who would be there to act as ushers and greeters? Who would clean? Who would do the website? Who would do the graphic design work? Who would do the accounting? Who would do the administration? There are a lot of things that have to be done in church and in the body of God, the body of Christ, to make sure that it works as God intended it to. But if we all said, nope, I'm only doing this, then who would do those things? We would have a deficiency in the body of Christ. Or there would be just a handful of people extremely wore out because they're trying to do everything. And here's the thing. Even though we're many members, we are one body. We all have roles to play to work together to accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. And we all have a role to play. And the fact of the matter is, your role is important. And you say, well, Pastor Wayne, I'm not doing anything in the church now. Why not? Come let me know. I got something for you to do. There's always something to be done. Just yesterday and last week, quite a few of us got together to start working on that other building and cleaning and taping and doing all that stuff. You know, that's not the most glamorous jobs in the world, is to get in there and get dirty and sweaty and get that stuff done. But you know what? It has to be done. And so grateful for everybody who did, who come in. We had Steve and Emily were in there helping us, and Elias and Sam were in there yesterday, and Eddie was in the back. Pastor Joseph was in there briefly. Obviously, Michelle and myself, Blake and Mide were all over there working. Those are the kind of things that needs to get done. But and actually, the only reason I'm mentioning it is because most of those things go done without even being mentioned. Those are the stuff that we don't think much of, but it's so needed. It's so important to have that stuff done. So one, I just wanted to publicly say I'm grateful for you guys. Thank you for all your help. And we'll have other opportunities. We have the Stay Tuned Work Day. Don't worry, we'll have plenty to do. But those are the one-off stuff. But you know, we have a lot of things. We need more teachers so that the same people aren't the only ones teaching every Sunday. If you want to help greet or greet, that'll help us, so that way everyone's on the schedule every single Sunday. You know, we have administrative work that needs to be done. There's web work that needs to be done. There's graphic design work that needs to be done. Social media work that needs to be done. Video editing that needs to be done. Sound system help that needs to be done. We could obviously use more worship team members. As you can see, the truth is that we have more stuff that needs to be done than we even have people in the room right now. But the truth is our goal is to empower every single person to be able to step in to ministry and to do something. And like I said, the number one thing you can do now is just be willing to be a servant. And then as we continue to grow and bring people in, we'll empower them. And then someday maybe we will be able to specialize. But right now, a lot of times, we just need hands. Amen. And you're making an impact when you do that. Because every single one of you are valuable and every single one of you are needed. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 27, it says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Now we have the areas that we talk about being unpresentable. You know, these are the ones that maybe we don't think so highly of. These are the jobs that really nobody actually wants. You know, if I ask somebody to come do something awesome for the church, we have a lot of hands raised, but if I say, "I need you to clean toilets," probably not so many. Matter of fact, do you guys even know who cleans the church every Sunday? Or not every Sunday, before every Sunday? You know, Norma and Eddie in the back over there, those two, and Norma's been doing it for a long time. She's the one that, if you ever notice that the bear is in a slightly different pace every week, she's the life of the koala bear on the tree. But she's in here every single week, and many of you guys didn't even know it. Like, we have her to thank that we come in here, and that Eddie is as well, who's been helping out over the past probably a half year or so is when he started helping out. But they just do an amazing job. Matter of fact, they do such a good job that we never even think about it. You know, and you know, we thank you for that, Norma, and Eddie, even though he doesn't hear us right now. But we need people that are willing to do the stuff that nobody else wants to do. When I worked in a restaurant, my very first job, I worked in a restaurant. Do any of you guys remember JB's back in the day? It's kind of a breakfast place, kind of like a Denny's or something like that. And the first job I ever got was a dishwasher at a JB's. And it was one of the easier jobs to get because it doesn't require any skills, right? You don't have to have experience to be a dishwasher. You just have to be willing to work and get a little gross. However, this lowly position can shut down a restaurant. Did you know that? If there were no dishes, how would the cooks cook? How would the server serve food if there were no dishes? So what is thought of in restaurant as one of the lowest, lowly positions is actually one of the more important ones, because if it wasn't done, then the restaurant couldn't operate. It's so often that the positions that we don't think that high of are actually the most important. In March of 1981, President Reagan, I think I was trying to mix a previously shot president with Reagan, but 1981, President Reagan was shot, and he ended up being hospitalized for several weeks. The President of the United States was shot, incapacitated for several weeks, and guess what happened? Really nothing. The government just kept on operating. It just kept on going on. The most important position in our country was incapacitated for 3 weeks, and nothing happened. The country just kept on running. Now, what would have happened if the garbage collectors went on strikes for 3 weeks? In many ways, the garbage collectors are more important to the functioning of this country than the commander-in-chief. Because you'll notice if they stop working. And the truth is, it's the same thing is true in the body of Christ. We all rely on one another. You know, one of the things that I've talked to other pastors, and if I'm honest, I have to fight it off in my own mind sometimes too, is that, you know, they have a hard time going on vacation because they don't think they can leave the church with anybody else to run it. You know, they think that they are indispensable. But one thing that I've noticed is that every time I've gone on vacation, the church has moved on just fine while I wasn't here. Everything seemed to run. Somebody still preached. The word of God was still spoken. Everything ran. The church can run without me. Norm and Eddie don't show up 1 week. I bet you'd notice that. Every one of us rely on one another, and we all have a role to play. And could you imagine if this morning I said, you know what? We don't need the children's workers anymore. You know, like it's saying here, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you because you're not. What if I said, you know what? I don't need the children's workers. Where would the children be this morning? We'd have restless children out here. They would be bored. We'd be distracted by them. What if I said we don't need a worship team? Worship would have been quite awkward and quite different this morning had I said that was the case. And like I said, you definitely don't want to see what would happen if I decided we didn't need Eddie and Norma anymore to clean the church. And the thing is if you're ever asked to serve in an area where you're like, oh, I really don't want to do that, remember what Paul said. Paul says the parts that we think are the less honorable are actually bestowed the greatest honor. You know, it's just like this in the kingdom of heaven, it says that those who are the least will be the greatest. And that's what it says. You know what? The pastor doesn't need to have extra honor bestowed upon him because there's already enough. But we do need to honor those who are doing the work that nobody else wants to do. I mean, truthfully, you guys should be thanking Eddie and Norma every single week. Say, thank you. I love the work that you're doing. We're so appreciative of you because we like to be able to come into a clean church that smells good. They deserve the extra honor, the praise, and your thanks for what they're doing. And the thing is that as a body, we are one. When one has success, we all have success. You know, when we talk about we want to see people get saved and we want to see new people visiting the church, we want to see the church growing in salvations. And in order to do that, we all have to work together on our own areas, and we are successful together as a body. And then when one suffers, we suffer together as well, because we're one. And because of that, we can joyously work wherever God has called us to work, whether that's in what we consider honorable positions or dishonorable positions, knowing that regardless of where we're serving, if we're obedient and we work with a servant's heart, then we are all successful together as one body. Amen. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, it says, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry." One of the things we need to keep in mind as we are stepping out into our calling in life is that we need to take it seriously. That's what it says here, be sober-minded. Think clearly, be focused on it, don't be distracted. You know, what is the opposite of sober? It's incapacitated, right? Mentally incapacitated. We all think of alcohol, but there's many things that'll make you unsober. So that means as people operating in the body of Christ, and then remember, Paul is speaking to Timothy. This is one of Paul's disciples. It's one of his young pastors. And he says, listen, as you're stepping out into your calling, what God's called you to do, be sober-minded. Take it seriously. Keep on a straight head. Don't be distracted. And sometimes it's not going to be easy. How many of you know that? Sometimes we might even question why God has asked us to do what He's asked us to do, especially when nothing seems to be going the way you thought it would be going. Anybody ever felt that way before? You know, one of the things that, especially as we've decided to step out into this new building, God has provided us an opportunity to grow. We're expanding. We're moving forward, and we have just had an incredible increase, and I would say attacks of the enemy coming against us. We've had a lot of hard hits the last few weeks, you know. And anytime you start looking at these things, you know, sometimes bad stuff's happens. And that's all it is. Sometimes we just live in a fallen world. Bad stuff happens. There's just inconveniences. Things happen. But when you start seeing a lot of them and they seem to have some timing behind it, then you go, you know what? I think this is the enemy attacking us. Why did all these things start happening and increase in veracity and volume right before we're stepping out into faith to see what God's doing for us as we expand? And the reality is that there's an enemy that wants to kill us and destroys and wants us to fail. So it's easy to say, you know, God, I'm doing everything that you wanted me to do. It doesn't seem like it's going the way it should be going. What's going on? It's easy to freak out and begin to wonder, am I doing what God called me to do? But I would just encourage you, keep being obedient and walking in what God has called you to do. Even if it's hard, even if it doesn't seem like anything's going right, if God told you to do something, it's going to be okay. He's going to see you through. Amen. And then we have Timothy here. This is something that I always try to keep in mind when I think about myself, because Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy wasn't an evangelist, but he was told to do the work of an evangelist. That goes for all of us. One of the things for me that's a reality is that I am not an evangelist. That is not my calling. That is not my gifting. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that even Pastor Jerome, when he was down, he's like, man, I'm going to begin praying for God to send you an evangelist because it's just not my strength. But I'm still called to do it, just like each and every one of you are. You know, when we talk about evangelism and sharing the faith, you're like, well, that's just not me. I don't know how to do it. Well, do it anyway. That's what Paul said to Timothy. I imagine that was a conversation. Paul, I'm just not an evangelist. It's just not my strength. Well, do it anyway. Do the work of an evangelist, even if you're not one. You see, he was a pastor, but that was still something he had to do. And I think that's true for all of us. So when you're stepping out into your calling, first and foremost, keep your head on straight, right? Be sober-minded. Next, do the work of an evangelist. That's everybody's call. You don't get out of that one no matter what your call is. And then finally, fulfill your ministry. That means you have to consciously make a decision to step out into what God is calling you to do. Paul charged him to fulfill your ministry. He had gone through the steps with Timothy that we have asked ourselves to go through. and with everyone that is a part of this body, right? He evangelized, right? He got Timothy saved. That was the first step. And then after he led him to the Lord, he began to equip him. He began to disciple him, to work with him, which is, you know, one of the goals of our church here. It's why we have the different things that go on. We have Bible studies. We have the men's meetings and the women's meetings. That's all part of discipleship. And then we see him here empowering him to fulfill his calling. He says, listen, you got saved. You've been equipped. Now it's time to fulfill your ministry. It's going to take work. It's going to take focus. It might even take you doing something that you don't really like doing. It might hurt a little bit. But he needed to step out and do it. You know, and when I ask people to do stuff or to step out into a ministry or to serve in an area, you know that it's not something that I've not asked myself to do. I've served in many areas where I wasn't necessarily called, but the work needed to be done. If you started with this church, I led worship before Blake and Mireya and the other team members that have been in there took over and started doing that work. That's something that I did. I'm not called to be a worship leader. I can do it, and I did it because I had to. So I've done stuff that I'm not called to do, or stuff that's gotten in the way of allowing me to pastor. It's very difficult to be the worship leader and the pastor and do all the other stuff that has to be done. But sometimes we have to step out and do things that need to be done to serve wherever the serving needs to be done. And then finally, as you step out in your calling, it depends on you stepping out into faith into what God has called you to do. You have to fulfill your ministry. You have to make the choice to step out and to serve and to work. It's not something that I can do for you or anybody else can do for you. You have to be willing to do it and commit to it. And that's the other part, is commitment and faithfulness too. I've had so many people throughout the years come up to me. Matter of fact, I joke about it a little bit, but one of the number one indicators for me to know if somebody visits the church for the first time, if they're going to come back or not, is if on their first visit, if they come up to me and start asking how they can serve, what they can do, all the different things they can do, almost every time they've never come back after that. They come up and because there's no faithfulness there. They know they want to do something, but they won't commit to it. You know, and that's what we need, is people that are willing to serve, but being committed to serving as well. You can't just say, oh, I want to do this and get excited about it, but then after two times go, oh, this isn't what I thought it was, and quit. Serving in the kingdom of God requires faithfulness. One of the things that we do on the worship team, if you want to be on the worship team, is you have to practice for 4 to 8 weeks with the worship team before you ever get to come up on a Sunday morning. And that does two things. One, it lets you learn the songs and work with the team, but it also demonstrates that you're willing to be faithful for 8 weeks before we can count on you on a Sunday morning. And here's the thing, as a church, we always are going to be willing to support you. We want to equip you. We want to teach you. We want to put you in positions where you can step out, but you're the one that has to step out of the boat. You know, in the men's meeting, one of the things that we do is we always allow somebody else to teach. And I think it happens in the women's meeting too. I don't follow the women's meeting all that strongly, but at least I can speak for the men's meeting, is that, you know, we want to give every man an opportunity to teach on one of those Saturday mornings. That's part of, you've been trained and you've been equipped and we're giving you the opportunity to step out. That's part of discipleship. It's part of growing. And I'm just so encouraged that just about every one of the men has taken an opportunity to do it. Sometimes we have to beat them with a stick to get them to say yes, but they usually say yes after a few whacks. See, we ask for volunteers, and then if that doesn't work, then they're voluntold to do it. So, in Luke 16:12, it says, "Now we're going to talk about your calling." But also part of being able to step out in your own calling, to serve in your own ministry, is to serve in somebody else's. In Luke 16:12, it says, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" One of the first things that you need to do if you want to be successful in your own ministry is be faithful in somebody else's. When I first learned of the call of God on my life, and God told me that I was going to be a pastor, I didn't immediately start a church the next day. I served and trained under my pastor for several more years, learning, growing, being taught, especially once we knew what the calling was on my life. I needed to be trained better. I needed to be equipped and ready to go. So I served under him in many different areas of ministry, doing whatever he needed me to do, all the while being discipled by him so that I was able to go out. And after some time, when I had been faithful in another man's ministry, then I was finally released and empowered to fulfill my own. And sometimes that means that we operate and we serve in the areas of gifting and calling that we've been given. And sometimes it just means serving wherever the need is, doing whatever needs to be done. If you want to be entrusted with more, you have to do well with the little you've been given. Matthew 25, 20 through 29 says, "And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master.' And also when the one who had 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I've made 2 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, to gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." The reality is that if you are given a little and you do nothing with it, you're not going to be given anything more. Matter of fact, after some time, God may ask somebody else to do the job you were supposed to do. But if you'll be faithful with a little, then God will trust you with more. And that means starting off with the little stuff, serving in somebody else's ministry, doing what they ask you to do so that you can be prepared, equipped, demonstrate your faithfulness so that you can be faithful in your own ministry. You know, one of the things that I've talked to younger men when, you know, we have different events at the church and like, oh, I don't want to go to the men's meeting. I don't want to go to the outreach. I don't want to go to the lunch after church. I don't want to do this stuff. And I say, you know what? One day, when you step out into your ministry, you've been called to be a pastor. You've been called to be an evangelist. You've been called to do whatever. You're going to have needs of things. And right now, you are sowing what you will likely reap when you come into it. As a young pastor planning a church, and especially in a small church, like every person that doesn't show up is felt. You know, when we have church events, every person that doesn't show up, it really makes an impact. And the truth is that if we're inviting people if we're doing some sort of worship night or an evangelistic outreach, if we don't have the people, it makes people that aren't Christians more uncomfortable when there's less people there. Oftentimes, having people there is important. And when we step out into our different ministries, whether that's something you do in this church or somewhere else, we reap what we sow. If we're not faithful in a little bit, if we won't show up to the person we're serving with now, why would anybody show up to ours later? We're reaping what we sow. Or rather, we're sowing what we will be reaping. We have to be faithful in what we have right now for God to entrust us with more later. And then if you will, it's amazing, because God will trust you with more, and then he'll provide you the means to accomplish what he sent you to accomplish. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:1-5 says, You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So Paul tells Timothy to fulfill his ministry, but then he also tells them to instruct, train, and send out faithful men. You see, Paul was putting in place a cycle. He wanted, he took and he replicated himself into Timothy. He trains him, equipped him, and he sends him out. And he says, now, Timothy, you do the same thing. Train them, equip them, and send them out into their ministry. We should be reproducing. You know, that's part of this cycle, evangelize, equip, empower. It's a cycle to continue to reproduce and increase the kingdom of heaven. So just like my responsibility is to equip you and then empower you to step out into your ministry, your responsibility is to begin equipping others so that they're empowered to step out into their own. This is actually what discipleship is. We just started a series in the men's meeting yesterday all about discipleship. And that's what we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks. But that's what the reality is that you get discipled, you grow, and then you find other men to disciple so that they'll grow, and then they'll find other men to disciple so that they'll grow. Each and every one of us has that responsibility. And likewise, the women discipling women. Paul also gives similar instruction to Titus. In Titus 1:5, he says, this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and to appoint elders in every town that I directed you. The idea that we are as Christians in the body of Christ is to reproduce, to train people, to send them out, to empower them, to help them grow. And Titus and Timothy are two New Testament pastors that were discipled by Paul. They were his spiritual children, but he was reproducing himself in them so that they would go ahead and do the same in the cities where they served. You see, we're not supposed to be the professional students. We're supposed to grow, learn, get equipped, step out, start working, but then we're supposed to start training others to do the very same thing. Matter of fact, that's if you ever want to have a legacy, that's how you do it. You can't do it on your own. You have to start training others so that you see an exponential increase in the kingdom of heaven. And here's the thing, serving in the church, it might not be easy. Matter of fact, a lot of times it's really, really hard. But we're to endure hardship. In this case, man, I am having all kinds of word issues this morning. You'll have to forgive me. I said grace earlier. In this case, Timothy has the easiest job of all, right? Being a pastor. I don't know. Pastor Joseph, do you agree with that? Being a pastor, the easiest job at all? You know, so many people look at that. All they see is this beautiful face on Sunday morning. Like, man, that can't be hard. He just stands up there and preach. You don't get to see the rest of it. Ministry can be hard, but we're to endure it. And the rewards, the good news is the rewards are great. And it's not just for pastors, it's for every area of ministry. The rewards are great spiritually, and then there are those who depend on us. One of the best parts of being a pastor is seeing people grow and mature in Christ. Seeing where they were just a few years ago and then seeing who they are in the kingdom right now, it's pretty amazing. But yeah, we're supposed to endure. It's not going to be easy. That's why it says here, he tells them, you know what? Send out faithful men and then share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. Anytime you're told to share in suffering, that might mean it's not going to be all lollipops and gumdrops from here on out. And he says, listen, serve as a soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. A soldier is only worried about obeying and serving as commander. If you've ever been in the military, I was in the Army for a while. My commander is who I had to listen to. I got orders from those who were in authority above me, and I didn't get to worry about everything else. What they told me to do, I did. I wasn't concerned about the other stuff going on around me. I wasn't concerned. Here he says that no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. You know, they're not concerned with worldly things. But rather, the soldier has a one-track mind focused on doing his duty. Church, I want you to know that you are soldiers in heaven's army, and Jesus is your commander. We're not to be entangled in civilian pursuits. We're being entangled in the wants and will and desires of our commander, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he uses another. Like I said, the Bible is actually pretty easy to understand because God knew that some of us like me were a little bit dense, and he had to make it easy so I could understand it. I get soldiering. I get talking about an athlete. An athlete's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You see, athletes, particularly in this day and age, they competed in games that separated themselves from everyone, and they dedicated themselves to 10 months of rigorous training before they got together. Matter of fact, that's all they were allowed to do. It could actually, if you weren't training appropriately, they could actually kill you for it. Like, if you were dedicated to being an athlete, that's what you did. You didn't mess up because you had to compete in the games. Nothing else mattered. And these are the examples that Paul is telling Timothy. He says, listen, nothing else matters but serving your commander, but competing according to the rules that he set out for you. It's what's important. And church, we should have the same attitude inside of us and focus on what God has called us to do. And it should come before everything else in our life. It should come before our job. Serving God should come before your family, before your spouse, before it all. Now, I'm not saying that you ignore or give up on all of those things. I'm not saying to go out and quit your job or to you know, send your wife packing or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But that has to be the focus. You know, one of the things that some people think is crazy when we do marriage counseling, I tell people the order of operations in your family. First, it's God. Then it's your spouse. Then it's your children. And people, oh no, my children come first. No, they don't. Because if you put your children first, then your marriage is going to fall apart, and then your children are going to be caught up in that. If you want to put your children first, you actually need to put your spouse first and make it work. So the same is true of our regular life. You want your regular life to work out, put God first. Otherwise, the other stuff can fall apart. God and our service to him should be the priority in our life. Jesus should take the preeminence in our life. Amen. And the truth is that our culture, our desire as a church here is to help you step out into your ministry. We will support you. If you have an idea for ministry, if you want to serve in an area, then feel free to share that with me. What I'm not asking you to do is come and say, hey, I think this is something you should do. No, if you have an idea, you say, listen, I think this is what we should do, and I will empower you to start working in that area of ministry. I'm not looking, it's not my job to do all the ministry. Did you guys know that? We all have a role to fill. So if you think that there's a need that could be met or something that we could be doing, you know, when the women's group got together and decided that they were going to support the nursing home, and it is a nursing home, right? Yeah. And all the people there, they didn't come to me and say, Pastor Wayne, we think you should do this. No, they put together a plan. They started gathering. They took care of it. This is a ministry that they're working in. And my job is to provide an area where they can do that. So they can utilize the infrastructure we have here to be successful in that. And that's what I want to do is empower you to step out on your ministry. I don't want you to have me do your ministry. Does that make sense? Amen? Yes. And we'll support you every step of the way. As long as it's not illegal or stupid. It can be crazy. I'm okay with crazy. Just not illegal. One of the things, you know, little stuff we have to be careful with. I remember years ago, the youth group were like, yeah, we want to do a dog washing ministry so we can help raise money for the youth. And I'm like, yeah, we can't have people bringing random dogs to the church around our kids. Like, we can't do illegal or stupid stuff, but we can do crazy stuff, something that maybe is outside of the box. Amen. And finally, Jesus sets the example for us. Matthew 10:1, it says, and he called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. Jesus sets the perfect example of how we ought to be behaving as a church. First, he evangelized his disciples. He brought them on board. And then he traveled with them. He learned with them, right, for several years. He trained with them, and he taught them, and he ministered to them. And then he started off, and he sent out the 12 somewhere along the ministry. And then later on, he set the bigger group of disciples. And finally, after he went to be with God, after he was crucified, then he sent them all out to do the work. But they traveled with him. They learned with him. They were being equipped and ready to step out. Now notice, this requires spending time with him. You know, that's one of the things that we should take every opportunity to spend time with one another. And that requires all of us to be doing that. You know, I do my best to reach out to people, to send texts, and Michelle and I do our best to get with people, but we can't meet with everybody. That responsibility cannot rest on our shoulders alone. We need to rely on one another and have time spent with one another, discipling one another, and it's not that difficult. Discipling is as easy as just being friends and working with one another and connecting with one another. But then after the training is done, notice he empowered them to go out on their own. He gave them the authority, the same authority that we operate in today. He gave to them to go out and fulfill their ministry. And we follow Jesus' example. There are those in this room who will be preachers and teachers. Might even be people that plant churches or go out on the mission fields. But right now, we're in training. You're being equipped, but you don't want to be a professional student. So start small. Start stepping out in some area. You got a ministry idea? Let me know. We'll encourage you and we'll support you to step out in it. If you want to do something, let me know. We got plenty of things that still need to be done. And the thing is that the goal is to, you know, get saved, get equipped, serve in another man's field so that you can be sent out into your own. And then the cycle continues. Amen. And that's how we're going to increase the kingdom of God. Not by just sitting here on Sunday mornings, listen to, albeit a quite handsome man, preach. But you got to get out there and do something on your own, amen? Hallelujah.